Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. Previously on Black Brick, "You ever going to let that go?" Shannon asked. "Not until you admit you were wrong," I said, glancing at my watch. We did not have long before we needed to get in place around Jason Kurt's home. He would be waking up soon. "Stop being petty," she said. "You're too paranoid, even for a spy." I scowled. "We need to go." 5. I was waiting for Jason Kurt's last computer to power down when there was a sound at the doorway to Kurt's bedroom. I turned from the bank of computer screens, expecting to find Shannon, but instead recognized Lisa, Jason Kurt's younger sister. Somehow, we had missed the fact that she was still here when we had broken into the home. "Hey, mister," Lisa said in a small voice. "What you doing?" The little girl stood in the doorway, her hairs in pigtails and a smudge of something on her cheek. Grape jelly? She wore a shirt that sported cartoon characters I did not recognize, and clutched an ugly orange stuffed animal that looked like the progeny of a horse and a dolphin. I covered up my surprise. Shannon and I had already been in the home for half an hour and had gone through every room. How had we missed her? Cherry and Tom must have assumed Lisa had left with Kurt's mother. I should have confirmed that they had seen Lisa leave as well. "Oh, I'm just helping your brother out with a few things." I smiled at the girl, wondering why she was not afraid of me. Lisa twisted around and disappeared into a room down the hall. I thought about pulling the plug on our mission as I watched her go. She did not appear bothered by our presence, but I was uncomfortable having her here. Innocents were supposed to be left out of things like this. Shannon would have overheard the exchange through the earpiece that we both of us wore. Her silence was telling. That meant she had found Lisa and had not told me. I had already removed several cameras that Kurt had set up in his bedroom, and Lisa had seen us. If we did not snag the hard drives now, we might not get a second chance. Things would be okay. Lisa was too young to give a reliable description of us, and we would be gone soon. I looked back at the computer monitor. I still had a few minutes before it shut down. I shifted, brushing more garbage from the desk onto the floor. How could somebody live like this? Candy wrappers and empty soda cans littered the desk and a nearby bookcase. The floor was barely visible and covered with clothes, books, a half-eaten bag of chips, and loose paper. How could Kurt's parents tolerate an adult child who chose to live in squalor? My mother would never have put up with this, I was sure. Unbidden, my focus shattered and the memories came rushing back. I could see every event vividly as if watching a movie, but more real. The smell of fresh vomit, the feel of my father's cold, stiff body when I tripped and fell on top of him, the shrill screams of my mother, the loud explosion of the revolver, and the acrid smell of gunpowder. The man's laugh still echoed in my mind. My earbud crackled, and I made myself focus on the present. I was stealing the hard drives of a hacker and needed to complete my mission. "What are you doing on Jason's computer?" Lisa asked, bouncing back into the room. "He never lets anybody touch it." I looked at the small girl. "Jason doesn't like it when other people touch his things. I know, because he yells at me when he catches me in here. That doesn't mean I stop, though." The girl shook her head as she giggled, causing her pigtails to flick into her face. "If he catches you in here when he comes home from school, he'll be real unhappy." I forced a smile and chuckled. "Well, I'll just have to see he doesn't catch me." I did not blame Kurt for not wanting Lisa in his room. It was not a place for an unattended child. In addition to the two widescreen computer monitors that sat on Jason's cluttered desk, two additional monitors were fastened to the wall. A large flat-screen television hung off a swivel stand on the other side of the bedroom, muted and tuned to a news network. Cords peeked out from underneath the clothes that were strewn across the floor. Posters of women covered the window. I recognized one as an actor, but I did not know any of the others. The most recognizable feature of the room was the pungent smell of sweat, rot, and dirty clothes. "He'll know," Lisa said in a high-pitched voice. "He always does." I thought of the cameras we had removed and grunted. It's okay. I won't let him catch me. And I won't tell on you. We'll just keep this our little secret. I patted the girl on the head. I never spent much time around children, and it seemed like an appropriate thing to do. I stopped, though, when Lisa frowned. Okay, Lisa said, running out of the room, dragging the stuffed toy behind her. I smiled as I watched her go, hardly a care in the world. Had I ever been like that? I almost shot her, Shannon said, stepping into the room. Her nose scrunched up as the smell hit her. Thought she was a dog. I unplugged the computer I had just powered down and pulled it out from under the desk. It was the first of four. Yeah, her pink ribbons are awfully confusing. Thanks for the warning, by the way. Hey, Tom's the one that missed her, Shannon said. She won't be left alone for long. I did not comment on Shannon's obvious assessment and opened the computer case, removed the hard drive and wrapped it in plastic, and placed it into my briefcase. The silenced Sig Sauer mosquito in the breast pocket of my suit coat bumped against my chest when I stood, reminding me why I considered pulling the plug. This was not a game. People sometimes got hurt. You find anything else? Shannon shook her head. Nope. This smelly hole is the only place of interest. What's the update on Kurt? I asked. Just got out of class, Shannon said. Bill says Kurt has a thing for his professor and is hanging around bugging her. Martinez had followed Kurt to class while we had stayed behind to nab the drives. I did not bother to put the computer back together because Jason would know we had been here regardless, and that was kind of the point that Beltran wanted us to communicate when he sent us to track down Kurt. Beltran had called it an intimidation tactic, but I thought it was more likely to just piss Kurt off. I turned to the other computers and removed those hard drives as well. Rummaging around the room, Shannon managed to find an old laptop underneath the bed and a tablet computer that Kurt apparently slept with. Both went into her briefcase. Afterward, once Shannon had taken pictures using her cell phone, we placed bugs around the room. One in a vent, another under the bed, and we even pulled up part of the carpet in the corner and placed one underneath. As I replaced the carpet, I noticed white dust beside a small bookcase that stood against the wall beside the bed. Drugs? I asked as I examined the white powder, wishing there had been more time for a full surveillance workup. Beltran had been adamant that our raid take place as soon as possible. I rubbed some of the powder between my fingers and thumb and was surprised that it felt familiar. Let's go, Shannon said. Drugs are the least of his issues. She looked at her watch and muttered, something that I did not hear. It took me a moment to place it. The last time I had seen this white dust was when I had helped Sister Bautista hang sheetrock at the Boone Ranch for boys. It had been an ambitious project for an older woman with a handful of boys under 10. I pulled back the bookcase expecting to find a hole, but instead I found the wall undamaged. There was more dust on the floor, so I ran my hand along the wall just above it and felt several ridges. Kurt's sloppiness had given him away. He had done a good job of patching up the wall, but he should have cleaned up afterward. Ignoring Shannon's look of impatience, I pulled out a flashlight from my briefcase and became certain that the wall had been disturbed. I could see the variations in the paint. Following along the edges, I cut a square of the wall away using my pocket knife and found a paper bag inside. Let the cops handle this, Shannon said. Let's go. This is not drugs. I opened the bag and pulled out a stack of photos. The picture on top had three people, two women and a man. They were in a conference room. The second and the third were of the same people. I stopped on the fourth. It was the woman from several nights ago. It took me a moment to remember her name. Gina Townsend. She was talking to another man that I recognized but could not put a name to. I showed the picture to Shannon. Know him? She shook her head. I wondered if Kurt had left behind the powdered sheetrock, hoping an intruder would find the hidden compartment in his wall and stop there. It was a paranoid thought, but I could not help it. I inspected the other walls by running my hands along them. When Shannon saw what I was doing, she sighed. I think we got everything, she said. Her phone beeped with a text message. Kurt's on his way. Hoping there wasn't something else hidden away, I put the pictures in my briefcase. My phone vibrated. It was a news alert with an update on the Andrews murder investigation. I had lost count of how many alerts I had set up. I was about to put my phone away, thinking it could wait until I saw the headline. They had a lead on the suspects in the investigation. I clicked on the alert to read the story. "Find the remote to that TV," I said to Shannon. "They found footage of the suspects from the Andrews murder." I paused. They have us on video. When she was not able to find the remote, I started switching channels on Kurt's television by hand. Unfortunately, the story was not big enough to interrupt the national news cycle. Andrews was an executive for a large corporation, but he had been a minor player in the company. I growled. Shannon had her phone out by then and was searching for additional information. "We don't have to destroy his room as well," Shannon muttered, glancing up. With a start, I realized I had grabbed onto the television with one hand and was in danger of pulling the swivel stand off of the wall. I released my hold. I felt numb. It was the first one of our missions that had been brought back to our doorstep. I had killed a man, and the man Shannon had shot had died as well. If the video led to us, Beltran might have no other choice but to cut his losses and let us take the fall. That was the risk we took in this line of work. My phone vibrated again. I pulled it out, expecting another update to the story. This time, one that included our pictures. It was a text from Cherry asking why we had not left yet. I remembered what Shannon had said just before the alert had come in. Kurt was on his way back. I took Shannon by the arm and pulled her out of Kurt's bedroom. That earned me a glare, but she came along, phone clutched in hand. When we got to the car, I took the driver's seat while Shannon called into Blackbrick. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.